Charlie Brooker is a television presenter, author, screenwriter, producer and social critic. He's the creator of Black Mirror and has written for comedy series such as Brass Eye, The 11 O'Clock Show and Nathan Barley. After Donald Trump was elected President of the United States, Brooker called time on his annual news wipe. He felt it became impossible to parody reality. This Thursday, however, he returns with a different type of wipe. Antiviral Wipe, his take on our newfound reality. I'm joined now by Mary McGill to look at the work of Charlie Brooker. Let's start with Nathan Barley from 2005. He worked there with Brass Eye's Chris Morris. Mm. How would you describe that character, Nathan Barley?
How would I describe Nathan Barley without making us all feel very uncomfortable, Sean? Because Nathan Barley he fancied himself as a tech entrepreneur. This is 2005, and everything related to the internet was, of course, very shining and very new, and lots of people were very excited about this. So Nathan Barley is an archetype from that particular culture and time. So he fancies himself as a tech entrepreneur. In reality, he is basically an idiot with a website. And on this website, he posts, you know, stupid pranks caught on camera, photographs of himself with attractive women, photographs of himself traveling in foreign cities. If this is sounding uncomfortably like social media and what we're all doing these days, that's because, of course, it is. Because Nathan Barley, like, you know, the aforementioned Black Mirror, is one of those series that Brooker has produced that really nails a particular place in time, but also is prophetic in terms of depicting where the culture is going. And so in Nathan Barley, we have this character who, you know, thinks he's a hot shot, completely narcissistic, no self-awareness. And then he's contrasted with this character played by Julian Barrett, you know, Nick Ashcroft, who
Dan Ashcroft,
who is this journalist from this uber cool magazine that, you know, Nathan is all about. But you know, Dan can't stand him. He's constantly writing about how these idiots are undermining the media. He's finding in his own role as a journalist, he can't even critique them anymore if he wants to get paid. And so the world that Nathan is bringing to life is actually undermining Dan's world. But Nathan is totally oblivious to all this, Sean. He just thinks Dan is great and edgy and everything he wants to be.
Yeah. Who did you say played Dan Ashcroft again? Julian
Barrett, who people will know from The Mighty Boosh. And of course, Noel Fielding stars in Nathan Barley as well. It's one of those shows that really kind of, in many respects, it captures the moment, but it also captures the direction the television itself is heading in.
And Nicholas Burns plays the character of Barley himself.
Yes, he does. It's a kind of, a career-making role for him.
Yeah. Well, let's have a listen to a clip. Dan Ashcroft here reading from his essay, The Rise of the Idiots, about people like Nathan Barley, but utterly lacking in self-awareness, drowning in narcissism, as we've just heard be suggested to us. Barley and his ilk don't recognise themselves as the target, and they love Dan's work because they think it's edgy.
The Rise of the Idiots by Dan Ashcroft. Once the idiots were just the fools gawking in through the windows. Now they've entered the building. You can hear them everywhere. They use the word cool. It is their favourite word. The idiot doesn't think about what it is saying. Thinking is rubbish, and rubbish isn't cool. Stuff and shit is cool.
Oh, Ashcroft.
The idiots are self-regarding consumer slaves, oblivious to the paradox of their uniform individuality. They sculpt their hair to casual perfection. They wear their waistbands below their balls. They babble into handheld twit machines about that cool email of the woman being bombed by a wolf. Their cool friend made it. He's an idiot too. Welcome to the age of stupidity. Hail the rise of the idiots.
And there we are, a clip from Nathan Barley, one of the creations of Charlie Brooker, whose career we're looking at this evening ahead of the antiviral wipe. It's just a once-off antiviral wipe that we're going to get later. Is it later this week, Mary?
Yes, on Thursday on BBC Two at 9 o'clock. It's a nice surprise, Sean. We weren't supposed to be getting any of it because he'd effectively abandoned the wipes in 2016 when Donald Trump, as you said in your introduction, became president of the United States of America. And his rationale for that is, look, how do you parody a situation which is so dark and so extreme that it actually, you know, kind of parodies itself? And indeed, in the last couple of weeks, I mean, we've had suggestions from, you know, the leader of the free world, you know, in regard to bleach and light in terms of treating the coronavirus. I mean, you really couldn't make it up. But I think the antiviral wipe is something that fans of Brooker, who appreciate his acerbic humour, but also his fantastic analysis, are really looking forward to, because he is just, when it comes to skewering the media and really breaking down the kind of trends that the media is preoccupied with at any moment in time, he does that like none other. And he has a fantastically funny way of doing that as well. And of course, we've all been turning to the media so much over the past couple of weeks with this virus. I fingers crossed, I think we're in for a real treat on Thursday.
Black Mirror, I suppose, is Brooker's best known work. Again, as we listen to the clip there from Nathan Barley, I thought that describes this moment right now. Black Mirror is the same. It's almost too close for comfort.
Very close for comfort. And again, he has just this really, really canny knack. And I think it's important to say as well, you know, with regard to Black Mirror and even Nathan Barley, you know, Brooker is a huge fan of technology, computer games, the media. But he's also, you know, he's from a media studies background. That's what his degree was in, that he did kind of didn't really finish because he did his dissertation on computer games, which was frowned upon. But he, you know, with Black Mirror, again, we see these questions raised, and not unlike in that clip from Nathan Barley, not just about technology, but about how we as human beings use the technology and how we allow ourselves to be changed and how we interact with the technology. And of course, you know, he was talking about Black Mirror recently, and he was asked, you know, when can we expect the next series? And he's like, I'm not sure that that's what people want now, given that civilization feels like it's falling apart. But, you know, Black Mirror can also be very funny and full of humanity as well. So I think, that the notion of how we as human beings engage with technology and engage with the media is really central to so much of the work that he does.
Yeah, in fact, the clip I have from Black Mirror is all about interacting with technology. it's from the episode Rachel, Jack and Ashley 2, third and final episode of Series 5 of the series Black Mirror. The episode follows Ashley O, played by Miley Cyrus. She's playing a pop singer who is creatively restricted by her management team, and Rachel and Jack, teenage sisters who struggle with the recent loss of their mother, are part of this as well. Now, in this clip, Ashley O, played by Miley Cyrus, is an AI doll based on the pop star of the same name, and she comes alive.
Hold on, I can think. Oh man, I can actually use my mind again.
Are you okay?
Oh, I am, now that you deleted that goddamn limiter. Jesus.
Limiter?
Yeah, like a firewall. It only let me use 4% of my brain. Oh, boy. You know, they copied my entire fucking mind into these things? Oh, cheaper than editing my personality, I guess. Just copy the whole thing over and stick a limiter around the tiny part that deals with press junkets and promos and shit like that. Oh.
So, you're really Ashley O?
Yeah, of course I am.
Really, really?
Well, okay, a synaptic snapshot of me if you want to get technical about it, but yeah.
Oh my god, I'm such a huge fan.
There we go. You know, what really strikes me listening to that clip from Black Mirror, Miley Cyrus playing Ashley O, basically kind of playing a version of herself. I think the other character was Rachel, played by, is it Anguri Rice is the actor who plays the character of Rachel? I think she was the other person in that clip.
That's it, Mary. Yep.
Miley Cyrus is prepared to have a laugh at herself, really, isn't she?
Oh, listen, you really, if you haven't seen that episode of Black Mirror, Rachel, Jack and Ashley 2, you really need to see it, because it will give you a complete, it's very dark, Sean, but she does a fantastic job, Miley Cyrus, as you say, of effectively playing herself. But that is what Brooker is so good at, you know, and whether it's Nathan Barley or whether it's Black Mirror or whether it's Newswipe now, it's just, you know, he brings this heightened kind of critical awareness to everything that he does. So it's recognisable. We know, we see these motifs in the media. We recognise characters like Nathan Barley. We see Ashley O and we're like, well, that's Miley Cyrus, but like, it's amped up. And when it's amped up, you suddenly begin to think and view it critically. You're like, oh, that's actually, you know, what we expect of pop stars. Like, you know, Ashley O has been imprisoned in this AI doll, and still at the end of the clip we hear, I'm your biggest fan, not, oh, this is so horrible, you poor thing. It's like, oh, I love you. It's like, you know, this amazing disconnect that we have with regard to how we consume media. It's fascinating.
I'm pretty certain that Charlie Brooker worked AI doll rhyming with wrecking ball in somewhere into that episode, but I'll have to go and watch to find out. But he is making serious points along the way.
Yes.
I have a clip from 2007. I'll tell you what, we listen to the clip and I'll come back to you. So it's 2007 and it's Brooker himself ranting about how TV is mostly aspirational in order to make the viewer feel bad.
In the minds of TV execs, viewers don't simply want to watch things, oh no, they want to aspire to be them. The thinking goes that if you watch The Glittering World, you'll feel like you're part of it, even though you aren't, of course, you're just a pleb gawping at a box.
Oh, does the pauper want to be like the pretty people on the television, does he? Ooh. Ooh.
In a sense, twas ever thus. Adverts have always depicted an aspirational lifestyle, be it a vision of suburban coffee-slurping smuggitude or a world of unreal fantasy. It's their job to dazzle you with images that make you feel inadequate, then offer a magic solution.
They're selling you a membership card. Buy this car or use this shampoo or drink this booze, and maybe, just maybe, you'll be part of the glamour gang too for about 30 seconds until they try and flog you something else. The monsters!
But it wasn't long before the aspirational virus leaked out of the adverts and infected the programmes themselves. I first became aware of it back in the 80s when shows like Dallas did their level best to make you feel suicidally inadequate for not being a billionaire tycoon.
There you go. Now, actually, I'm slightly confused as to whether that is Brooker himself or is Brooker's writing being voiced by other people, or is there a persona in there, Mary McGill?
I think it's this heightened kind of motif that he brings to all the work that he does. I think there is absolutely some of himself in there, but there's also, you know, what he's describing there is a critique of a particular political economy that has become very dominant in the media. This notion of selling particular types of lifestyle to the exclusion of many other types of lifestyle, you know, and I think it's important to say as well, he takes aim at very popular types of media, you know. The media is not monolith. There's lots of, you know, different aspects to it. That's not, he looks at really the most popular kinds. And I think he's been one of those people who's been very sharp on the real transition over the last 20 years around, we'll say, reality television and the fallout from that. And reality television fits into the umbrella of aspirational TV as well. And again, this comes back to this preoccupation that is there the whole way through his work about how we, as audiences, but also increasingly as people who make media, interact with it. So, I mean, you can hear the humour in that clip, Sean, but there's incredible cleverness there as well. I mean, he's really, we know what he's talking about as he describes it. We've been that audience, and increasingly we're not only the audience, we are actually in these productions.
And of course, he's having a go, no doubt, at the 24-hour news cycle in Newswipe. And that's been a Christmas highlight, I think, for you for a long time.
Very, very long time. Yes, we get all the schmaltz out of the way in the run-up to Christmas. And then as soon as January hits, or in the run-up to January, I think a lot of people are kind of combing the schedule looking for Newswipe. We haven't had it since 2016 now. So, I mean, Thursday, I think, is going to be really, really hotly anticipated by people who've been missing Newswipe.
The characters here are very useful and very helpful in their names. Let me say that Al Campbell, and these are the names that are given to them by Brooker himself, so I have to say them as written. Barry Shit Peas and Philomena Kunk, that's with a K at the end, played by Diane Morgan, who was recently in Afterlife, the Ricky Gervais series,
right.
Wasn't she? She's part
she
of that. They became almost characters in their own right, Philomena and Barry.
Yes, they're reporters on Newswipe, and I think Philomena in particular just became, I mean, we saw the complete lack of awareness exhibited by Nathan Barley, and Philomena takes that motif and just runs with it. She is the most blindingly, staggeringly dim reporter you're ever likely to meet, and she's utterly unaware of this. And if you're familiar with the Ali G setup, where you get some poor expert on with someone who's, you know, basically there to wind them up and the audience is in it, I mean, it's that format again. But Philomena being Philomena, you know, really reinvigorates it. And I think if people are not familiar with her tremendous body of work, they can get to know her on Thursday night. But there's also lots of wonderful mockumentaries online with her.
All right. Well, let's listen to Philomena in action, played by Diane Morgan, as I said, regular on Brooker's Newswipe. And in this clip, she's investigating Shakespeare's audiences.
They might have been thick, but Shakespeare's audiences had loads of fun, heckling the actors and cackling a lot in a sort of mad peasanty way. Like that. And that. To tell me more about Shakespeare's disgusted audiences, I spoke to this man.
Who are you and what's your game?
I'm Iqbal Khan and I'm a theatre director.
What was theatre like in Shakespeare's day? Were all the audiences really rowdy then, you know? Did they wear tunics and have mud on their faces?
The audiences ranged from the ordinary common working people who'd stand around the theatre here, and then they would range to the aristocrats who would sit at the top of the theatre.
Right, so some of them had to stand up. They didn't have chairs.
No, they'd be standing.
I've never had to stand for a whole Shakespeare. I don't think I could do it. I'd be livid if I didn't have a chair.
I think the audiences quite enjoy it. I mean, particularly now.
I don't think they do enjoy standing, do they?
They actually enjoy the experience of standing.
Who's told you that?
It's a classic question, really, you know. Where's the evidence, she's asking, like all good reporters. That's Diane Morgan. That's the level of, that's what you're hoping for on Thursday night, really, from Antiviral Wipe, Mary Miguel.
Yes, you know what, Sean, I just want to laugh. I think we all need a good laugh. I think we need to see the crazy world that we're in the moment held up to us and channeled and mocked and, you know, parody. I think we're ready for it. So I hope that it is a news wipe to remember on Thursday. I'm really, really looking forward to it. Here's to loads of Philomena Cunt.
All right, OK, that's Mary McGill speaking to us about Charlie Brooker. And Antiviral Wipe is on BBC Two Television, Thursday the 14th of May, 9 p.m.